My text this morning is from the reading that we had in Mark's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 6. Just those three words: He has risen. He has risen. Many of us in this building, we are Christians. By that I mean that we are born again. We mean by that God the Holy Spirit has come to us, and He has made us alive in Christ. He has brought us to Jesus Christ, and He has given us faith to believe in Jesus. And we have put our faith in Jesus, and we know the forgiveness of our sins. We are Christians. And for us, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is one of the great moments of history. There are three great moments in history: the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ on the third day. On these three great truths, the whole of the Christian faith has its building. If you remove these three great truths, if you deny that Jesus Christ ever came to this earth, then there is no Christianity. If you deny that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, there is no Christianity. If you deny that Jesus Christ rose from the dead bodily, physically — we don't believe in some spiritual resurrection, some kind of mystical resurrection. We believe in a physical resurrection. We believe that the tomb which once contained the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, 3 days later, that tomb was empty. There was no body there. Jesus Christ rose from the dead physically. And if you deny the physical resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no Christianity. So the Lord Jesus Christ, His birth, His life, His death, His resurrection, and His high priestly ministry, it is these that form the foundation of our faith. And this morning, of course, we are thinking of one of those foundational truths: the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is it so important? Why will we never deny it? Why would we rather die than deny that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? Well, this morning I want to try and unpack the meaning of the resurrection for us. I want to explain why Christians celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, what it means for us. Now, I can't cover everything. The biblical data, there's a lot of it. The biblical teaching on the resurrection and the meaning of the resurrection, there's an enormous amount of it. I can't cover everything. What I'm going to do is pick out three things, three hugely important things that come from the resurrection of Jesus, and why we believe in it and why we celebrate it. Why do we celebrate it? Well, the first reason is this: that Christ's resurrection means all our sins have been forgiven eternally. Christ's resurrection means all our sins have been forgiven eternally. I'm going to say something that I've said before from this pulpit quite a few times, but there's a number of visitors, perhaps you've never heard this explanation, so at the risk of boring some of you, I'm going to use an illustration that comes from the Bible. When you read the Bible in the Old Testament, you read about something called the Holy of Holies. This was a tent. The people of Israel built this tent in the midst of their congregation. And it was a place where the high priest entered once a year. This was Jewish religion. This was Jewish ritual. And the Bible told this high priest that once a year you will take an animal and you will kill this animal and you will take its blood, and you will enter into the Holy of Holies. Only one day a year are you allowed to enter into this place. And you will sprinkle the blood of that animal upon those things that are there in the Holy of Holies. And it was done for forgiveness. You are entering into that Holy of Holies because the people whom you represent, the people of Israel, they are sinners before God, and blood has to be shed for the forgiveness of their sin. So you're entering there because they are sinners, and you're taking this blood and you're sprinkling it because you want God to forgive their sins. Now, there were regulations about that animal that had to be killed. It had to be a perfect animal. It couldn't be blind or lame or diseased in some way. And if the animal was blind or lame or diseased in some way, and the priest, knowing that this animal is diseased in some way, took that blood into the Holy of Holies and began sprinkling, he would be struck dead. Because he has come into the presence of God with impure blood, that sacrifice would not be accepted. It is an unacceptable sacrifice. The priest would be struck dead. So you see, when he entered into the Holy of Holies, the people of Israel outside, in a sense, held their breath. Will the sacrifice be acceptable? Will God nod his head? And will God say, yes, what you brought is acceptable to me? Will the high priest come out of the Holy of Holies alive? If he comes out of the Holy of Holies alive, we know that the sacrifice he has made on our behalf is acceptable. It was pleasing to God. Now you can see where I'm going with this, can't you? Because the New Testament tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is our great high priest. He's the only high priest we will ever need. We have no need of a human high priest. I know some people call me a priest. I'm not a priest. Actually, in one sense, all who are Christians are priests. But we don't have this one man called the high priest. Jesus is our high priest. And the New Testament tells us that what happened here on earth in the Old Testament was a figurative language. It was illustration. It was telling us what Jesus was going to do in reality. And it tells us that when Jesus died, he went into the real holy place. This is the language that the Bible uses. He didn't go into a holy place that was here on earth, made with human hands. He went into heaven, the real holy place. And he went before God the Father. And he didn't go with animal blood. He went with his own blood. Because animal blood doesn't take away human sin. Animals are animals and humans are humans. There's a huge difference between them. You can't offer animal blood for the forgiveness of human sin. And so Jesus Christ, who was fully human, shed his own blood and went to God the Father with his own blood and presented his own blood as a sacrifice for his people, asking the Father to forgive the sins of his people, those whom he represented. Now, how do we know that God the Father accepted that sacrifice? How do we know that God the Father was pleased with this offering? How do we know that sometime during his life, Jesus didn't sin, thereby making the sacrifice unclean and unacceptable? Well, we know because our great high priest came out of the real holy place alive. The Lord Jesus rose from the dead bodily. God the Father raised him from the dead. And God the Father, in raising his Son from the dead, was saying that the sacrifice that he has offered on behalf of his people was pleasing to him. The sins of his people are forgiven. If you are a Christian here this morning, you are born again by the Spirit of God. You have trusted in the Lord Jesus. You've received the Lord Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. All your sins, all the sins that you've committed in the past, all the sins that you're committing even now as you're listening to me, and all the sins that you will commit until the day you die, all of them have been covered in the blood of Jesus, and they have all been forgiven. God will never ever hold any sin against you. God will never bring up some sin that you have committed and speak to you about it and discuss that sin with you. God will never judge you for any sin. He has judged His Son, and His Son has made a perfect sacrifice, a complete sacrifice, an acceptable sacrifice. Your sins are gone. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, because Jesus has shed His blood, and that blood was acceptable to the Father. The Father has received His sacrifice, and the Father has cleansed all for whom Jesus died. Your sins are gone. It is a tragedy. It is a tragedy when Christians labor under condemnation, when Christians dredge up sins from their past, and Christians bring their sins from their past, and their minds and their hearts trouble them. They lay awake in the middle of the night going over their sins, feeling miserable about their sins. You should never be miserable about your sins. There are no sins. They are gone. They're covered in Christ. They've been hurled to the bottom of the ocean. They are finished. They have been dealt with. They will never be brought up again. God will never judge you again over them. And God will never be angry with you over your sins. God has dealt with your sins in the blood of His Son. They are gone. We who are Christians should of all people be the most joyful, because we have been released from sin. We have been released from the power of sin and from the penalty of sin. Sin no longer has mastery over us. Sin no longer holds us in condemnation or slavery. It is gone. Do you know the forgiveness of your sin? Do you know that you're a sinner at all? Have you ever thought of yourself like this? Have you ever said to yourself, I've actually done things which have offended God? You may not even believe in God. Do you know that doesn't matter? God exists. Whether you believe in Him or not doesn't matter. God exists. That's the reality. And all sin is an offense to God. You may not believe in sin. That doesn't matter. These things don't exist because we believe in them. These things exist because they exist. It's rather like saying, I don't believe Cleveland Pier exists. Well, you can believe whatever you like. Cleveland Pier exists. Go out of the front door and look at it. It's there. Cleveland Pier exists. Whether you believe in its existence or not is irrelevant. And God exists. And sin exists. And God is offended with our sin. And God punishes sin. Have you ever thought of it like that? And have you ever thought of this, that you have sinned before God? And what has happened to that sin? Do you have forgiveness? Have you believed in Jesus? Have you asked Jesus to wash you clean? Have you asked Jesus to forgive you? Have you ever come to Him and say to Him, I have offended God. I have sinned. Will you forgive me? This is what makes a person a Christian. Not that they go to church every Sunday. Not that they read the Bible and pray. That's not what makes us Christian. It's Christ who makes us Christian. It's faith in Jesus Christ, believing in Christ, knowing the Lord Jesus, walking with Him and loving Him. This is Christianity. Have you ever come to faith in Jesus? And if you haven't, this morning I invite you. What a wonderful day to become a Christian, Resurrection Sunday. The day we mark the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can say, I was raised from the dead. Because I was spiritually dead and I was cut off from God. And I knew nothing about God. I knew nothing about Jesus. But I became alive. And God gave me life. And God the Spirit came to live in me. And I believed in Jesus. And my sins were forgiven. And I came to know the joy of Jesus and salvation. Why not today come to Him and be saved? Why not ask Jesus to save you? You know, it's very simple. You don't have to pray long, complicated prayers. I was born and raised in a Hindu family. And one day I knew I was a sinner. And I just sat on my bed and I just prayed a very, very simple prayer. Jesus, save me. Three words. Because it's not the actual prayer or the words or the eloquence. It's the heart saying to Jesus, I want to know You. And Jesus looks upon the heart. Why not today come to Him and find salvation in Him? So the first reason why we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus is because we know all our sins have been forgiven. There is no condemnation. The second reason why we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, because His resurrection means we will one day have a new body. We will one day have a new body. At the beginning of our service, I read some words that the Apostle Paul wrote in his first letter to the Corinthians. And this is what Paul wrote. He says, as by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Christ the first fruits. Now, what did he mean by that? Well, what he meant by that is that God the Father, in raising the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, set a pattern. This is now a pattern of how God is going to work in all those who believe in Jesus. He has raised Jesus from the dead. The Lord Jesus Christ now has a resurrection body, a physical body, a body that can be touched. Did you know this? That somewhere, we don't know where, but somewhere there is a man with a physical body who is seated at the right hand of the Father. Not a spiritual being, a physical being. The Lord Jesus Christ, in His physical body, a body that can be touched, exists today, somewhere out there. This is not some crazy talk. This is biblical truth. And just as God the Father raised God the Son and gave Him a resurrection body, so God will give a resurrection body to all who believe in Him. Now, for those of you here who are young, this may not sound a tremendously important thing, because you're young and your bodies are strong and you can do anything you like and your bodies haven't begun to wear out yet and so on. But for those of us who are getting old, we're beginning to feel the effects of age. And this happens sadly to all of us. Our bodies begin to wear out. Our eyesight begins to go, our hearing. We begin to become weaker and weaker. And the things that we used to do, we can no longer do. We simply don't have the energy. And basically what it means is our enjoyment of God's creation, our enjoyment of life, our enjoyment of everything that God has given to us diminishes because the body gets older. Forgive me if this sounds rather depressing. It is truth. Now, this is the great hope of the Christian, that one day God will give us a new body, a resurrection body. And that body will never age. It will never feel the effects of time. Its powers will never diminish. It will never lose its memory. It will never be forgetful. It won't have dementia. Eyesight won't grow weaker. Hearing won't grow weaker. It won't begin to get weaker and weaker in its arms and legs. But that resurrection body will remain as it was created by God, a complete body, a perfect body. And in our resurrection body, in eternity, we will enjoy God. Do you know the resurrection body is a wonderful hope for the Christian? It's a wonderful hope, not just because we will enjoy God's creation. I'm going to speak a little bit more about that. But it's a wonderful hope because it means we will enjoy our walk with God, our relationship with God, our love for Jesus. If you're a Christian here this morning, you wake up every morning and you curse sin. Because sin prevents you from knowing the love of Jesus as perfectly as you would want to know it. You know Jesus loves you. You know that Jesus pours His love into your heart every day. You know that the Holy Spirit comes to you daily, and the Holy Spirit pours love, grace, and mercy into your heart. And you want to have all of this coming into your heart, and you want to enjoy the love of Jesus. You want to enjoy being loved by Jesus, and you want to love Jesus, and you want the whole day to just continue loving Jesus, being loved with by Jesus, and understanding more of His grace and more of His love, and to enjoy Him, to have that joy. And then sin comes, and the mind begins to wander, and temptations come, and evil thought comes, and so on. And sin spoils all this. And you wish it could, you just say, I wish sin wasn't there so that I would know Jesus' love. Well, you will. Because in heaven, there will be nothing to disturb this relationship with Christ. A perfect, loving relationship. You watch a young couple who've just got married and how they love each other. It's almost perfect love. There's no such thing as perfect love here on earth. But it's almost perfect. They love each other. And they look at each other, they look into each other's eyes, and he loves her and she loves him. And they think it'll never be any better. Well, sadly, as marriage progresses, things come in and things don't always work out. But this love relationship that we have with Jesus, the bridegroom and the bride, the church, it's imperfect now. But one day in our resurrection bodies, with resurrection minds, with resurrection hearts, resurrection emotions, resurrection feelings, we will love Jesus as we should. And we will enjoy our love for Him. And He will love us, and we will enjoy His love for us. Heaven is a place of love. And it will be perfect love, never to be spoiled. So the second reason why we celebrate the resurrection is that one day we will have a new body. And then the third reason, and I've touched on this already, His resurrection means we will enjoy the blessings of heaven for eternity. We will enjoy the blessings of heaven for eternity. Do you know what's going to happen when Jesus returns? He's going to recreate this earth. This earth was at one time a perfect place. When God created the world was perfect. There was no sin in this world. And none of the effects of sin were here. There was no pollution. There was no famine. There were no droughts. There were no flooding. There was no wars. There was none of the things that spoil creation for us. Now, it is still a beautiful world, but it is a spoiled world. I was looking on the internet, and a family were walking on Cadbury Hill, and they were saying, we set out on this walk and it was a lovely day, a beautiful sunny day, and we were walking on Cadbury Hill, lovely place, and then we saw some people had been there before and had left all their litter there, and they took a photograph, all these crisp packets and Coke bottles and all just left there. Well, you think, what a shame that a lovely place like that is spoiled. Now, that's just a small thing, isn't it? I mean, that can be cleared up. But you think of how we pollute this earth and how many things go wrong in this earth to spoil what was a perfectly created world. Because sin has done that. But when Jesus returns, He will recreate this earth. And it will be a perfect earth. No pollution. No famine, no drought, no flooding, no death, no suffering, no tears. Just a perfect place to enjoy Him, to enjoy His creation, to enjoy fellowship with each other. Do you know heaven is a glorious place? I sometimes wonder why we as Christians seem to cling on to life here on earth. I can understand that. We love our families, we want to be with our families. But you know, heaven is such a glorious hope. We're going to be with Jesus. We're going to love Him. He's going to love us. We're going to enjoy everything that He has created. And it's all going to be wonderful. And we will have bodies that can enjoy everything. That is heaven. Heaven is a real hope because Jesus has been raised from the dead. So why do we celebrate the resurrection? All our sins have been forgiven. we will have a new body and we will have a place to live in which will be perfect, heaven, in a perfect relationship with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit in perfect love. That is the resurrection hope of the Christian. Have you come to share in it? Have you believed in Jesus? Have you trusted Him? Have you asked Him to save you? Why not today ask Jesus to save you from your sin and give you the resurrection hope?